Your power and might. In Your presence we now bring love song offering. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We enter Your word with that presence. Moses said, if Your presence doesn't go with us, we will not leave this place. We will not enter the word without Your presence. So we ask Your presence to follow us into the word. And bring fresh revelation. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. As I speak, help me speak as an oracle of God. The same unction on me, put it upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who will hear me remotely, electronically. Oh, let Your wisdom, let Your revelation flow freely from You through me into every into every heart and do a great work therein, causing our wills to be more humble, minds to be enlightened, more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, let Your power be released in great measure to back and follow the word as it goes forth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what You want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all is in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said. This afternoon I have a message of inspiration. The messages that have been coming in the last many months, have God has been using it to stir us up. Bible says stir up the gift and inspire us and prepare us for the imminent outpouring of the Spirit of God, firstly upon Zion, as it says in Joel chapter 2 verse 23, be glad then ye children of Zion. This is the second outpouring of the Spirit that will close these last days. The first outpouring was on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in the scriptures, in the city of Jerusalem, upon the 120 disciples in the upper room. And that triggered off the beginning of the last days. As the last days are coming to an end, there's a second outpouring which will be greater than the first one. Because the scripture says, the glory of the latter house be greater than the former. The Spirit that was poured out then was the earnest of the Spirit. But the Spirit that is being poured out now and manifested is a Spirit without measure. And it is necessary equipment that we need to close the last days to disciple the nations. There are three important things that are going to characterize the people who will carry this last day anointing. And so I've titled this message, Righteousness, Purity, and Power. Everybody say righteousness, purity, and power. Those are the three things that will characterize the vessels that will carry this end time anointing, this Spirit without measure. And God in His wisdom has caused this to be so because He knows what humanity is looking for. There's a wonderful scripture in Isaiah chapter 25 talking again about the end time and the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, in abstracted typology. And there it says, in that day we'll say, this is our God. We have waited for him. Scripture tells us in the book of Romans, it says that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in birth, waiting for something. The manifestation of the sons of God. There have been moves of God before this time. We hear of the great revivals that have happened from the day of Pentecost right down through the ages, the centuries, the millennium, and the millennia and the centuries, particularly in the last 3-4 centuries, the Reformation in Germany, the Wesley revivals in England, the revivals, the awakening in America, Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, Dwight L. Moody, the outpouring of Pentecost at the turn of the last century. But all of these moves, something went wrong. The move will come, there will be a great outpouring, then it will go down, because these three things were not preserved. Everybody say righteousness, purity, and power. What it will attract? Why will the world say we have waited? What were they waiting for? They were waiting to see, even though they themselves may not even know it. But when they see, they will know it. They will know, yes, this is it. They're waiting for that mixture of righteousness, of purity, and power. We've seen men of God manifest power, but no purity. We've seen the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation, but little righteousness. You see this typified in the life of Samson. Samson had power, but no purity, no righteousness. Or should I say, I correct myself there, not sufficient. Not that there was none at all, but it wasn't sufficient. So it corrupted the anointing. And it made men skeptical. You see, if you manifest the glory of God and the power of God, and yet there's a lack of purity in your life, and a lack of righteousness in your life, people are going to be skeptical. Is this God? Is it the devil? Even if it may really be God. And so, as God is preparing the church in this hour, this prophetic message has come to inspire us and instruct us to righteousness, to purity and power. Righteousness, purity and power causes the church to become attractive to the world. In Isaiah chapter 60, I read this on Wednesday. I'll just hit it running for today. It says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That is a reality as we speak. We don't have to expatiate on that. Anybody who's looking at what's going on in the world today knows that there's gross darkness. I was telling my wife yesterday, India has just legalized gay. India. It used to be a crime, you know, it used to be, against the law. But they've now legalized it, you know. They were dancing and putting balloons up and everything. India is one of the most conservative societies. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his what? Glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. And the Gentiles, as the nations, shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I'm going to stop there. Why will they come? They see something that is attracting them. They see a light that is attracting them. They will see a righteousness that's attracting them. They will see a purity that is attracting them. They will see power that is attracting them. And they say, come, 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 let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house. For out of Zion will come forth the law and the word of the God from Jerusalem. He's speaking symbolically there about the perfect church. That's in Isaiah chapter 2. Quickly go there. And it shall come to pass in the last days. I didn't hear you. That the mountain of the Lord's house. Turn to your neighbor and say, the mountain of the Lord's house. You say, who in the world do you think he's talking about? Turn to your neighbor. Who in the world do you think he's talking about? Not about you and I. It's a house. You are the house of God. The church is the house of God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6 and, you know, so many other scriptures. You know, the mountain of the Lord's house, I didn't hear you, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be what? Exalted above the hills and what? Into it. Why? It's become attractive. It has something they haven't seen before. The combination of righteousness, of purity, and of power. And I bring this short exhortation to remind us, these are not things we're not aware of how the Holy Spirit will help us to attain these things and maintain them so that we can be a part of that company of people that will God will use to attract the nations. It says they will flow into it. Why? They see something they haven't seen before. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 52 verse 1, I won't go there. It says, arise, shake yourself from the dust. But it didn't stop. It says, and put on your beautiful garments. Beautiful. It's talking symbolically, spiritually. It's something beautiful. It says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God hath shown. Ah! People say, wow. I want to be one of those people. Man, do you mean a person can be like this? Righteousness, purity, and then power. I just got a tweet. You know, you will raise the dead quietly. No noise. No fanfare. And then you tell them, don't tell anybody. Just go back to church and serve God. And you go away from the place. The people say, what happened? What happened? Then somebody will say, this person did this. Where's the person? Say, they don't know. Say, just help me. And he didn't take any offering. Are there people like that? You will lend. Bible says we will lend unto nations. You give people 500 million. So don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. You have a problem. You can't do this. Just take this. We're going. We're helping you. But don't tell anybody. Quiet. No fanfare. No publicity. Just because it's what God said. Just to be a blessing. People say, are there people like that? That's what's going to attract people. Everybody says righteousness, purity, and power. Now let me hit it running. Let's deal with righteousness first, one by one. Righteousness. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. It says, talking about the, you know, the gospel is the power of God. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Actually, this is one of the scriptures that God used to trigger this message off in me. Romans chapter 1, I believe it's around verse 16. Thank you. Verse 17, okay. He says, read verse 16. Let's read verse 16. Everybody read and say, for I am not ashamed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I certainly am not ashamed of the gospel. It's good news, folks. It's the best news man has ever got. Hallelujah. In fact, you should be proud of the gospel. I can't understand Christians who are afraid to identify who they are. The world should be envious of us and not the other way around. Talk to me, somebody. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. For it, it's what? It the gospel. It the gospel is the power of God. Paraphrase, releases the power of God. Unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and to the Greek. Is universal. No discrimination of race, color, tribe, kindred. Next verse. For therein, he's now explaining how it releases the power of God. For therein, the righteousness of God, is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. I've been teaching this stuff for years. You know, but you see, the Bible is continuous revelation. You know, you see it. I didn't see it like that. You know what it means? I know it also means, you know, from strength to strength and from glory to glory, means from one level of faith to another. But in this context, what God is telling us is this. And this is the foundation for the message. And it is this. You know, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith in right standing to faith to right doing. Let's say faith for right standing. From faith for right standing to faith for right doing. See, the right standing is very important. It's the foundation, but it must translate. It must move from a faith for right standing to a faith for right doing. Faith for right standing is by the blood of Jesus. You confess your sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses your heart and removes all unrighteousness or anything that's blocking your fellowship with God. This now gives you access, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead or has sin, the sin nature in it, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That's the right standing. It now gives you access. It is the power of God. It gives you access to the life of God. The life of God now that is in your spirit can now flow from the spirit into the mind, the will, the emotions, the body, the circumstances, and then produce right doing from faith to faith. Faith for right standing to faith for right doing. Hallelujah. And that is the kind of righteousness that the world is going to see. It's not man's righteousness. It's not a legalistic kind of righteousness. It is God's righteousness. They will see you behaving like God. They will see you thinking like God. They will see you feeling like God. They will see you acting like God. Hallelujah. They will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. Because it's not a righteousness that is based on physical works. It's from faith to faith. It's a righteousness that is wrought by faith. First of all, for right standing. Then by that right standing, you get access to the life and the power of God that now gives you power to act like God. To do the right things by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two. Purity. This righteousness will now produce internal purity. I talked on this during the Bible study. To really be pure, he said he purified himself even as he is pure. Purity has to do with, you know, purity of thought, purity of motive. Because purity is an internal thing. It's something in the heart. Is something on the inside. He says, you know, God loves those that are of a pure heart. He says, they that are pure in heart shall see God. Purity of heart. God wants us to be pure in our thinking. Now, I explained this during the Bible study. That's why this doesn't have to go for long at all. That, you know, you can have a thought that may not be correct. But that's not the problem. The problem is what you do with it. if you shoot it down like we gave that illustration, and you capture the thought, then the thought never conceives. If it doesn't conceive, it doesn't happen. Hello, somebody. And that is something that can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can empower you to do what the scripture says. It says, bringing into captivity a few thoughts. The very bad thoughts. You know, you try it. Then you know it's not something, it's not a walk in the park. Hello, somebody. Bring into captivity what? Every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. When the righteousness, the foundation of right standing and right doing, releases the life of God and the power of God, and it comes from your spirit, and it goes into the mind, it goes into the will, it goes into the emotions, and the life and the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, is reigning, is dominating the will, the mind, and the emotions. When a foreign thought that is not of God, a lust, a desire inconsistent with the will of God, when it assails your mind, when it assails your will, when it assails your emotions, what is inside? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is inside will dominate what is coming from the outside and making you pure. As purity. And it's a condition that can be attained and maintained constantly. Because we're talking here about a flow. It's not something that just happens once. It's a constant flow. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, one thing I've never understood. Let me paraphrase that. You know, one thing I have always been amazed at is how the church has emphasized tongues only for power, miracles, and all of that. The real primary purpose of tongues is to make you pure. If you understand it. I said it the other day on Wednesday. You know, it says, seek, you know, it said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us our daily bread. Before you start using the power of God for miracles, for physical things, use the power of God to clean your mind. Am I talking to anybody here? Use the power of God to think like God. Use the power of God to feel like God. Use the power of God to act like God. Use the power of God to enforce the kingdom. Then you will have no problem. Use the power of God to get the miracle for your daily bread. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Are you listening to me? We put the cart before the horse. So we want to use tongues, you know, to bind the devil. We want to use tongues to do this. And there's nothing wrong in that. That's all fine. But the real, the first application of the power of the Holy Spirit is to make you pure like God. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you will find that praying for the miracle become easy. Amen. The daily bread will flow. And you will not walk in temptation. And you'll be delivered from evil. Everybody wants to be delivered from evil. Everybody wants their daily bread to be met. Amen. But very few people want to enforce the kingdom first. If you don't enforce the kingdom, those other blessings will be difficult to get. I don't know if you're talking here. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom and his what? Righteousness. And he said, all the other things. The healing, the deliverance, the bread, the visa, the car, the contract, all the other things people, if you go to any church, all the prayer points, they all skew to that something. Have you ever seen anybody say, I came to pray for righteousness? When did you see that kind of prayer request? Well, what's your prayer request? My prayer request is, I want to be more righteous and pure. You don't hear those kind of prayer requests. I want, you know, visa. And I'm not making fun. Not that those things are not important. They are. God wants you to get the visa if it's his will. You know, wherever you want to go, he wants you to have a new house, black car. No, God wants all of that. But he's telling you that the way you're really going to get those things is, first of all, use it for righteousness. Amen. If you don't use it, The reason why we haven't seen any appreciable measure of great financial, material blessing in the church, and I'm going to add this, Pastor G, with righteousness, is a lack of this thing. We've seen a little bit of blessing, but you know, what we've seen is just a drop in the bucket of what God really wants to give us. And the reason why God can't give to many of us is because there's not enough level of purity. There's not enough level of righteousness. And if God gave that to you, it would destroy you. For the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, e.g. Solomon. As great as Solomon was, with all the blessings God, you know, and all the wisdom God gave him, he had, watch this. See, Solomon had wisdom, oh. It was God who gave him wisdom. I'll give you wisdom. But it was wisdom to build houses. It was wisdom to build fine gardens. It was wisdom for physical things. He did not use the wisdom for the spiritual. So it destroyed him. He built gardens. He had musicians. He had wisdom. He spoke 1,000 poems. You know, he was... Physical application, which is not wrong. But had he, would to God, he had first of all used the wisdom internally, then the prosperity would not have destroyed him. And he would not have married the daughter of the Zidonians and brought the abomination inside the temple. The same wisdom, the power of God. Look at the miracles, look at the blessing. So God said, it will never happen again. So you know what I'm going to do? A greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This time it's not going to be Solomon, it's going to be Jesus. So the Jesus in you is the one that's going to give you the righteousness and the purity. There you will not get a prosperity greater than the one of Solomon. Am I talking to anybody here? You got in it? And so that's why we need to understand these things. Righteousness from faith to faith. From right standing to right doing. Never be satisfied with the righteousness that's only right standing. It's a beginning. It's a necessary foundation. But it must translate from faith to faith. From faith for right standing to faith to right doing. A righteousness that people can see. A righteousness that produces an internal purity. Then the last thing, power. Power. Everybody say power. The Greek word for power is the word dunamis. I taught on this some years ago. I think it was 2008, maybe about 10 years ago. You know, when I talked about, you know, the power for righteousness, the power for healing, power for, you know, the different kinds of power. See, there are two ingredients inside the things of the spirit. Spiritual things are just as real and as precise as physical things. You've got Zoe. Zoe is the life of God. Amen? But it's like the raw material. It is when you process Zoe through prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit that is converted from Zoe to dunamis. It is dunamis that creates. It is dunamis that makes. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says, and the power of the Holy Ghost can come on, the word is dunamis. So God wants us to have power. But look at the steps. Look at the sequence. First of all, ever say righteousness, purity, then power. It's not power first. Now it is power, but the power, the initial power that is generated is used for the internal righteousness and purity. It is after it has done its work internally for righteousness and purity that it now goes out to do the healing, the deliverance, the prosperity, and the other things. Am I talking to anybody here? Doesn't sound to be so exciting. Hello, somebody. But folks, that's the way it is. You say amen, you don't say amen. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the sequence. It's a sequence. It's righteousness. There's a righteousness, purity, and power. You see, the power of God We've seen a little bit of the power of God, but we haven't seen that much as God wants us to see it. And that's why you see in the ministry of Jesus, I said this on Wednesday, you see that Jesus, for the first 30 years, there was no external power. It wasn't that there wasn't power. There was power. But it was all being worked on the inside. The Philadelphia church, he said, you have a little power. I'm talking external. But there was power. The power was working on the inside. It was rotting righteousness and purity. So that the righteousness and purity, listen to this, will become permanent. You will never change. He's talking about the overcomer. He says, and he will no more go out. You become permanently established in righteousness. And then scripture says, you will be far from terror. Permanent. Permanent internal righteousness. Permanent internal purity. Then you know what you're going to get? You're going to get permanent power on the outside. That's what Jesus got when he was 30 years old. The Bible says, and the heavens opened. And a voice from heaven came, this is my beloved son. Paraphrase. This is my beloved son that has wrought righteousness and purity inside him. That's why I'm pleased with him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why? He's used all these years to establish himself in righteousness and purity. And so what happens? The heavens open. And the Spirit of God, in the form of a dove, flutters down. The Bible says, and remains. Everybody shout, remains. 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 This is not going to be a power that comes and goes. It's going to be a power that permanently abides. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Everybody say, righteousness, purity, and abiding power. Not power that fluctuates. So, this man, and I call him a man, even though he was God. He says, the man Christ Jesus. So I'm scriptural. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He was God, but when he was operating here, he wasn't operating as God. You have to understand that, or you can't understand Christianity and being coming like Jesus. Jesus did not operate as God. He was not omnipotent. He was not omniscient. He was not omnipresent. When he was here, he was limited into a natural body. How many of you know Jesus was tired? How many of you know Jesus slept? How many of you know Jesus was hungry? Hello, somebody. How many people know that Jesus didn't walk on water every day? How many people know that 99% of the time when he went on the water, he was in a boat? Like everybody else. We only have record of him walking on water once or twice. That's not, you know, God, touch your neighbor, say, God's not spooky, you know. You will have the power without measure, but because of your internal purity, you use it sensibly. You don't see Jesus. You don't see Jesus doing silly things. Even when he walked on water, it was in the middle of the night when there was nobody around. Nobody could see him. It was functional. He was praying, and then he sent the guys ahead. They were rowing, and then there was a storm, and the people were finding it difficult to get to the other side. When he saw that those boys were in trouble and that probably the ship would sink, he came down from the mountain and walked on the water. Only God knows how long he walked for. I said it wasn't 2 meters. Are you listening to me? It probably was a mile. Because they had already been rowing. And he just did it quietly. In the middle of the night, nobody saw him. He was just, the wind was blowing. He was just having a nice casual walk on the water. Isn't that lovely? Hallelujah. He was just walking, having a nice stroll on the Sea of Galilee. You know, with a nice breeze and everything, you know. And these other guys were in turmoil. So as he approaches the boat, they suddenly say, wow, there's something out there. They said it was a spirit. Well, it was a spirit, all right. but inside a physical body. Hallelujah. You know, and he says, no, chill. It's me, you know. And he gets inside the boat. And instantly, the boat is translated. It's an instant. Go and read the Bible. Many of you don't read your Bible very well. Go and read it very well. You'll find out the thing went instantly. They were rowing, and they were tired. When Jesus enters your boat, everything becomes instant. Hallelujah. And they were on the other side. But the point is, it was done without fanfare. Can God trust you? People are in trouble. Then God said, go walk on the water. And you will. They didn't believe. They laughed. I said, go walk on water. Oh yeah, you will. We're going to do it in this end time. There are times you walk on water. There are times you walk on air. Ask Philip. It's called Philip Transportation. Trust me, it's better than British Airways. But we won't be spooky with it. It's not that we every day. No, because of the internal purity. You only use it when God says you should use it. And when it is necessary to be used. You don't use it to show off. You certainly don't use it to take up an offering. That's why God hasn't given it. They haven't found people who are pure. That's why this message is coming. So you walk on your righteousness. Turn to your neighbor and say, walk on your righteousness. Walk on your purity. So you can get abiding power. So Jesus had abiding. The power didn't come and go. It came and stayed on him permanently. And you see it. God gave me scripture, you know, to encourage us. You know this. I know this scripture I'm about to quote. Most Christians don't know it. Or they know it. They don't believe it. You know. Because, well, I know it's in the Bible. But it's just, you know, one of the scriptures that mess us up. Amen. If ye abide in me. And my words abide in you. You will ask what God wills. You know, don't get spiritual. Don't try and spiritualize it. Tell what the Bible says. The man means what he says. If ye abide in me. Everybody say, I got that one. I'm in Jesus. And my words abide in you. Don't put your hand up in a hurry. That's the limiting problem. To what degree? Abiding in you. It has to abide in you to the degree of producing permanent righteousness and purity. Then you move to the next part of the verse. You will now ask what you will. And it, what you ask, shall be done unto you. And might I add, instantly. How did I get that? Jesus, he's our example. He said, my people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Do you know, Jesus didn't operate the gifts of the Spirit? Like we do. You operate the gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit wills. So if the Spirit gives you a word of knowledge, you understand? You say, somebody here is sick or somebody has a pain in their ear. You call it out and the person gets healed. Great! But Jesus didn't operate like that. Jesus operated with the permanent anointing. I'm going to give you two examples. There are plenty, but I'll just give you two. Number one, the woman with the issue of blood. How many people know that it was not a word of knowledge? Jesus didn't even know. He didn't even know. It was just the... Thank you, darling. It was the abiding power. It was there. No word of thank you all the time. That woman had heard that there were people who touched the man. And when they touched him, they got healed. The thing was news all over Galilee and Bethsaida and all those cities where he was operating it. The only place it didn't work was Nazareth. Because of the unbelief. Not because of the lack of power. There's power in this socket. There's a socket here. You understand? There's light now. There's power here. Okay? Put an insulator there. Like plastic. No current will flow.
Is it because there's no power? It's because of the material that is making the contact. Put a metal there that is a conductor, and instantly you will feel the power. Everybody that was touching him in Nazareth was an insulator. Unbelief is an insulator. Faith is a conductor. And the power will flow. Thank you, Pastor Larry. But they did not mix faith. Man, the power is there. Anyway, going back to the Lord Jesus, I'll give you two examples. How many people are getting something out of this? So the power comes on. The power is permanent. It's there. So this woman has heard that this is prophet. You know, many people that didn't know he was the son of God. They just knew he was a great prophet like Elijah, you know, and he came from Nazareth. So they used to call him the prophet from Nazareth. Ah, he'll be here. Somebody say, have you heard that I was there last week? You won't believe it. I was there. Not that they tell me. My own two Kurokuro eyes. I saw 15,000 people healed. Give me Mark chapter 6. I think it's verse 56. You know, it says, and virtue came out of him and healed them all. You know, the Bible doesn't exaggerate. How many people know that? When few got healed in Nazareth, the Bible says he could dare do no mighty works. Did he lie? When it was just one man in the pool of Bethsaida, it was just one person. There was a multitude of sixfold. Did they all get healed? Just the one man. When many were healed, the Bible say many. When all were healed, the Bible said all. I'm not talking to anybody here. So she had heard. People have been saying, this man, he said, virtue goes out of him. Sometimes all just need just touch, just touch, just touch. So the word is going down. It comes off the boat. Jairus, the archbishop, let's use today's language. Well, there's the ruler of the synagogue. He was like a bishop or something, you know, in the church today, in the synagogue. His daughter is sick. She's almost dying. He throws away all his religious tradition. All the people, every negative thing they have been saying about Jesus, he just says, it's not your daughter that's dying, it's my daughter. Don't mind them, Mujari. Please. He makes his way. It took a lot of humility for Jairus to do what he did. Because he was a ruler of the synagogue. And they didn't believe in Jesus. They said, who is he? From Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Who taught him? Gamaliel? Who? He just grew up in Nazareth. Where did he know? Which Bible school did he go to? That was the problem in those days. So, but Jairus threw all that away because he wanted his daughter healed. And he knew that this man could do it because he had heard all the reports. So he makes his way up to Jesus and he does something that is unusual for big men to do. He prostrates. He said he fell down before him. And he said, Master, I beseech you. They're going to come and fall down for you. That's why we need the purity. That's why we need the internal righteousness. So that those things will not get to your head. When people do so silly things and they come and kneel down, you say, stand up, I'm a man like you too. Let's go. That's what Peter told the guy. The guy came and said, come on, stand up. I'm a man like you. When they said Paul and Silas, he said, the gods have come down to us. They tore their clothes. Can God trust us? The little power we have had, see how we have abused it. Offering, anointing oils, and all for money. But it's not going to happen in this move. That's why it's going to be righteousness. Ever say righteousness, purity, and power. So the Lord Jesus, Jairus just said, my daughter said, I will come. Jesus is nice. These are guys who criticize him every day. And he knows. But he said, the man is in dire straits. His daughter is sick. Jesus is not going to throw that in his face. So that's the righteousness. That's the purity. Jesus said, sure, let's go. I'll help you. So he's on his way there. This woman has been hearing the gist. That is this man. So somebody tells her, she just hears maybe the crowds. The Nazarene. The Nazarene is walking past. She said, wow, this is my chance. I have to get to him. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. I'm supposed to shout unclean, but I'm keeping my mouth shut for today. No unclean. God is going to help me. I am going to touch this man. And she fought her way to the crowd. I'm not going to say anything unclean with my lips. You may be unclean, but if what thou shalt not call unclean what God has cleansed. So she called what was not as though they were, and it became koselemengaras. So she fights her way through the crowd and touches the hem, not the top. Not even the body, the hem. It just touched it. She touches the hem of his garment instantly. See, the power is always there. It was touched by a conductor. And she felt it was not a delayed reaction. You know this, my wife has been talking about, you know, there will be no longer delay of the promise. It was instant. That is the characteristic of the spirit without measure. It produces instant miracles. The spirit with measure produces delayed miracles. Instantly, boom! Power enters. The woman, she feels in her instantly that she is healed. And she thought, well, man, I got it. Then Jesus does something terribly upsetting. He stops. Who touched me? Come on. You got a crowd. People pushing you, shoving you. You know, maybe asking who touched me. He said, I perceive virtue. You know, when you have it, you will know. This is not, it's tangible. Are you listening to me? Virtue is gone out of me. But the point I want to make here is that it wasn't a word of knowledge, or he would have known. He wasn't walking to the, there's a woman here with the issue of blood. God is about to heal you now, if it's our people today. That's why God doesn't give it to them. And that's why they have to fake it. Yeah, there's a woman there with the issue of blood, but it's going to cost you 5,000 naira if you want that level of miracle. Abomination. The 7,000 names of Babylon are going to be overthrown. No. This is the real, this is what the people, this was going to attract the people. The purity. The purity. Jesus said. And the woman came trembling and told him everything that happened. She thought Jesus was going to condemn her. Because Jesus is a rabbi. He's a rabbi. He knows the law of Moses. And he knows that an unclean woman should not go through the crowd. That's why she was afraid. That's why she came trembling. She didn't know what the man was going to say. He looked at her. I can imagine him as well, with a twinkle in his eye. And said, daughter. He didn't call her woman. He called her daughter. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go and be healed of thy plague. The simplicity of the Christ life. No fanfare. No special publicity. No special because by offering Ben straight. Can God trust you? Righteousness, purity, and power. And she gets healed just like that. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story goes on. And it rejoices that. That's the first example. I'm proving to you that it's not as the Spirit wills. It was a permanent anointing. I'll give you another one. Remember this leper? The leper comes to Jesus and says, I know you can heal me if you will. And Jesus said, I will. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If the work of righteousness and purity has been done, God will give you the power permanently. And all you just have to say is, I will. To fulfill the prophetic scripture that the works that I do shall ye do also, and even greater works, that we might grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things, in righteousness, in purity, and in power. Let us pray. That's it. Can God trust you? Can God trust? God loves you, but can he trust you? So come two different questions. See, you love a lot of people, but you can't trust them with some things. They're not stable enough. Hell, it doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you won't care. But, you know, they just a certain amount of resources you don't put into their disposal because they just haven't developed the character. They don't have the character to be able to handle it. So you just give them the little that they can handle and bless them. But you don't give them too much, because if you give them too much, they'll mess it up. That's the story of a majority of the church. That's why you have to develop righteousness, purity, and power. The power will be permanent. God told me, he said, in this end time, people are going to be shocked at what I'm going to do. Remember Elijah? Elijah is not like Jesus, but he's on the way. The Elisha anointing. Ah, there shall be no rain, but according to my word. He didn't pray. Pastor G, Elijah didn't pray. He just said, as I stand before the Lord God, before whom I stand, according to my word, there shall be no rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. We need to do that for a few of these guys around today. Yes, just to discipline them. We're going to do it. That's why I said, kiss the sun. Lest he be angry and stop the rain. Oh yeah, just for a short while. Won't do that permanently. You know, just to demonstrate that God is truly in control. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. And this is where God is going. This is where God is taking us to. It's a new land. This is new land ahead. This is land that the church has hardly ever, a few people down through the ages have entered, visited, and come back. But we haven't had a company of Christians that have gone to this land and stayed there permanently. That day is here. Talk to God. Righteousness, purity, and power. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy, yes. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move, hallelujah. Move amongst us with holy fire. As we lay aside, all earthly desires. Hands reach out. And our hearts aspire. Holy Spirit. Oh, like a shele mengara. Nekara matofenes. Spirit, we welcome. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Start again. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Lord, we welcome you.
Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move amongst us, hallelujah. Move amongst us with holy fire. As we lay aside, side of earthly desires.
Hands, reach out!
Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Let the wind of your presence blow. Hallelujah. The wind of your presence blow. Your children here might truly know how, glory to God, how to move in the Spirit, flow the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Please accomplish in us this day. Accomplish in us this day. Some new work of love and grace. We pray unreservedly. Have your way, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you.
We welcome.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. Please. Accomplish in me. Make it personal.
In me
today,
some new work
of love and grace, I pray, unreservedly, have your way, your way, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Let the wind of your presence that your children here might truly know.
How to move in the Spirit's flow.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you. Hand raised, the other hand on the heart. We are responding to the prophetic message. I use the words of Jesus. The hour is coming and now is. What it means is this. Very, very shortly it will start. And then it will continue. Raise that hand. And mean business with God. He says, when thou vowest a vow, defer not to pay, for he has no delight in fools. Don't just open your mouth and say things. It's better to keep your mouth shut if you don't mean what you're saying, than to say something and then, you know, don't follow through. So say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me that you are doing a work of righteousness, of purity, and of power in us, your people. Father, I understand what you have said. and I commit myself. I commit my life. I commit my habits. I commit my time to allowing you to continue to work in me by the power of your Spirit, the work of righteousness from faith to faith, faith of right standing to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, to the faith of right doing by the power of your word, and the work of purity inside my heart, so I become established, established, permanently established in righteousness and purity, so you can then trust me with your power without measure upon me permanently. So I will ask what I will, and my will always be in line with your own will, and it shall be done unto me instantly. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me, vouchsafe me worthy of this high and noble calling that you are calling so many into in this end time. I know, Lord, you have showed us in your word that you want your church to be attractive, so that the Gentiles shall come to our light and to the greatness of our rising, that they will come and flow, all nations will flow into the church. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to be a part of this great move. I will play my part, and I trust you for your mercy and your grace to cause me to be successful as I cooperate with you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. One reason, there are many, but one reason why you need to pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning, good morning Jesus prayer. Then after, you don't stop praying. You don't stop praying. Little prayer. Every 6 hours, at every opportunity, is you're establishing yourself in righteousness. The work of purity is going on constantly. Because the power of the Holy Spirit that has come from your spirit is constantly doing a work in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. And each, as you do it, you get more established in purity. You get more established in righteousness. You get more established. Then you know what? After a while, you become like Jesus. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above. You begin to hate. You don't pretend. You actually hate iniquity. So any thought of iniquity that comes to your mind captures it and shoots it down instantly because you hate it. But it won't come by wishful thinking. It is God that is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. But how do you put him to work? That's why he put it in your tongue. Because the tongue is the one that controls the rest of the body. Instead of making your tongue to be on the fire of iniquity, put it on the fire of righteousness, and the whole body will be subject to righteousness. Are we getting it? That's one reason. That's why. Take prayer very seriously. I'm doing a work. I'm not playing around. I'm not trying to be religious. There is a work that's going on inside me. a work of righteousness, a work of purity, and I'm not going to let anything get in my way, because I have a goal, the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. A child can understand it. We just complicate a very simple matter. Amen. We're going to close now. Mommy, come. That's what Christianity is. It changes your nature and empowers you to do righteousness and to excel in life. So your life now becomes a testimony, and you become a light that attracts others. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell neighbor, say, you walk in righteousness, purity, and power in Jesus' name. We love you. We love you. It's great to be back home. I really missed you.